How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvers and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is August 11, 2014, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. A lot of stuff to get into tonight. The final Raw before the SummerSlam pay-per-view, which is coming up on Sunday on the WWE Network for just $9.99. I have been alerted. And Dave, what's going on?
Tons. Freaking tons of stuff's going on. Tons more is going to happen tomorrow, too.
That's right. There could be... where to even begin? So there is a rumored big Bellator announcement tomorrow. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Now, some of you are wondering why on Monday night with Raw and everything else are we talking about a potential Bellator announcement? I don't know what the announcement is, but it could be a real big one.
Yeah. Oh, we'll find out tomorrow.
We'll find out tomorrow. So just stay tuned, everybody. If something big happens tomorrow, you kind of heard it here first, I guess. A lot of stuff to get into here today. I know you wanted to talk about Robin Williams. He passed away today in apparent suicide. Your thoughts?
He was a comedic genius. I was pretty stunned. I think that I had actually known that he was battling depression. I don't know if I'd read it or something. So it wasn't like I just remember as a kid watching him on Mork and Mindy and then, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire and just all those movies and things like that. He was tremendous.
Very sad news, passed away. I remember watching Mork and Mindy as a kid. You're a little older than me. I was much younger when I watched it, but I was a big Mork and Mindy fan, believe it or not, and very sad news.
First couple of years. I mean, it definitely burned out quick.
But, sure.
But the first season or two of that was just incredible.
I read somewhere, and you'd probably know better than I, but when I was reading about it today, I read that... Mork and Mindy was that a spinoff because he first appeared as Mork as an alien in Happy Days?
Possibly.
It's astonishing to me.
Yeah, I don't
clearly
remember.
After the shark jumping.
Yeah, I don't remember for sure, but that sounds familiar.
How about that?
Yeah, it came from something like that. Yeah. Yeah, he was an alien and everything, and he did all that. You know, the Mork and Mindy thing, what was amazing about that show is that so much of that was ad-lib. I mean, he would just come up with that stuff off the top of his head while they were filming. He was at that point in time, he was probably, like, the funniest guy alive. I never saw a comedian like that that was, you know, I mean, there were guys with planned routines and stuff, but to be able to pull that off constantly was pretty incredible. You know, I mean, he acted in movies and did a great job in movies too.
Oh yeah.
You know, not always doing comedy. I mean, he could do serious stuff too.
That's right.
So, it was really sad.
Also wanted to mention here this War Machine deal. The War Machine is on the run. This guy needs to be.
He needs to be caught.
Oh yeah.
He's been a nut. He's been a nutcase forever. I mean.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing that he went through those 6 weeks in the Ultimate Fighter house without doing something really, really bad, because he did. He was in that house. I mean, he was a guy and stuff but I remember him just kind of being kind of a crazy guy, but not like destructive or anything in the house. But my God, I mean, he's, you know, gotten a lot of fights, and this one was the worst.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
He beat his girlfriend up, like, really, really bad. I mean, bad enough to where it looked like he was probably... She feared for her life. She had 18 broken bones in her face, broken nose, lacerated liver, broken rib, stabbed. You know, it was a horrible, horrible, horrible situation.
Yes. Christy Mack said that he had stabbed her and cut off her hair with a blunt knife that ended up breaking. And she said that he went back to the kitchen and she could hear him rummaging around. And she was certain that he was looking for a sharper knife to kill her. That is what she said in a statement she released today. And she went running.
She ran out the back door completely naked,
yep.
You know, trying to find a neighbor to open the door, and eventually she found a neighbor who opened the door and rushed her to the hospital.
Yep.
The weird thing is, War Machine, John Koppenhaver is his real name, but he got his name changed to War Machine actually due to TNA, because TNA sent him a threatening legal letter about using the name War Machine. So he said, screw them,
because of Rhino.
So he changed it to his to his real name, so he could still use the name. And his I don't know if she's his girlfriend. He claims that he went over to propose to her. She claims that he broke up with her in May and had moved out, and she had a guy over, and I guess he caught them in the act, and he beat the guy up, and the guy went running, and
To be fair, she claimed that he showed up at 2 a.m. and they were both fully clothed. So I think she was claiming that they were not in the act in her statement.
Yeah, he claimed they were.
Yes, and she said that her and War Machine, I believe she said, had not been together since May.
Right, yeah. But whatever it is, I mean, that guy, once he kicked him out of the house, he probably should have called the police, immediately.
Yeah, it has not gotten out publicly who the other guy was. I don't know who the other guy was. The rumors are that he was a fighter. I don't know if that's a UFC fighter or another fighter or what the deal was. But, her whole statement is up on TMZ.com. They're still looking for War Machine. I believe her family has put up a $10,000 reward for his capture. He has stated on Twitter that he is just going to remain on the run because the cops won't believe him, he said. Yes, he's been tweeting about this within the last 12 hours.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is her statement, which is pretty harrowing. I don't necessarily, I certainly don't believe him. I don't necessarily believe everything that she would say either. But he said that, she beat her, that he beat her many times before, he's beaten people up a lot. That's the thing. He was in jail for a year. Bellator fired him on Friday. It's so amazing that he managed to keep a job there.
Amazing. He was hired.
Yeah. That was Bjorn, they let him. Yeah. After he spent a year in prison and Bjorn did the whole thing of I don't know. We don't judge people like that or something. I don't remember what he said now, but that was ridiculous. But Coker fired him immediately. So.
All right, let's start going on Raw here. This was the final Raw show before SummerSlam. This was your go home show, and I didn't see it, but I know that they strongly were pushing a John Cena versus Brock Lesnar special on the WWE Network that was going to air after Raw. Did you see it?
I saw some of it. It was just clips that have already. It was all clips that have already aired for the most part.
Okay, I heard it was very good, so I have not seen it yet, but
it was good. It was good.
It
yeah.
got it got good reviews. So
yeah,
there you go. All right, the show opened with a shot of all these presents all over the stage because
that were never opened.
They were never opened. That's correct.
Yeah,
man. Even in the post-show report, I didn't hear any reports of these presents being opened.
No. They were never opened.
How about that? So Brock and Heyman came out, and Brock has a new shirt, which is the same as his old one, except instead of saying eat, sleep, conquer, repeat, it says eat, sleep, conquer, John Cena. And I would suspect, based on the number of these shirts they probably purchased, that they did not purchase them to sell for just 1 week. So I saw that as a spoiler, but maybe I'm the only one. Heyman said in 6 days he'd be the advocate for the new undisputed world heavyweight champion. Said Brock had some things to say to the fans of John Cena. Basically gave a historical retrospective of Brock beating Undertaker. He said that when Brock was a rookie, he got his hands on Dwayne Johnson, put him out of action for 6 to 8 months. When he got his hands on Hogan as a rookie, he put him out of action for a year. He said if Hogan had...
He didn't exactly, Rock went to do a movie, and I mean, he just said that he was gone. And with Hogan, he kind of said that he never, you know, he left and didn't come back for a year. And if he'd ever come back for revenge, there would have been no birthday celebration. Because you remember the story, they did a match on SmackDown in August, I think it was, of whatever year that was, 02. And Hogan came back. Hogan was scheduled to come back for the November pay-per-view for Survivor Series. And as a champion, and you know, the whole deal was is that when Hogan came back, he wanted the title back. And him and Vince had the big falling out because, you know, he was not going to do anything but win the title, and because he wanted to get his win back, because he put Lesnar over, you know, strong, and he wanted his win back. And Vince said, this isn't the time for us to beat Brock Lesnar. So they had the big falling out. And then the funny part was, is that the end result was they turned Big Show and put Big Show with Paul Heyman. And then they flipped Lesnar babyface, and they did beat Brock Lesnar. So it was like, you know, Vince was like adamant, we can't beat Brock Lesnar, you know, and lost Hogan over it. And then on that exact pay-per-view that he was adamant he couldn't beat Brock Lesnar, he did beat Brock Lesnar.
Amazing how those things work.
Yeah.
So a little bit of revisionist history there. But anyway, Heyman pretty much teased that they were going to interrupt the celebration tonight. And he said, to all of you in the C Nation, if you're a fan of John Cena, do not miss SummerSlam, because after this Sunday, you will not be able to see him. He is going to be run off, essentially. Showed footage of the battle at Extreme Rules. Admitted Cena won, but said even Cena would tell you he lost the fight. Talked about the same thing he talked on the MMA Hour. He said it was a tainted victory. Brock wasn't 100%. He was fighting diverticulitis. He was maybe 50%. And this Sunday, he was healthy, and he was going to utterly destroy John Cena. And Paul Heyman then proceeded to do a freestyle rap, which greatly amused Brock. And when he was done, everybody booed Paul, but they also applauded his performance because he was awesome. So yeah. He said there's plenty of stuff coming tonight. Brock was the new man of the house. They were going to go out to dinner, and when they got done eating, they were going to come back. Flat out teasing they were going to try and kill Hulk Hogan later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an excellent interview. Excellent segment, really.
I thought Paul was just great.
Yep, I did too.
We had a hardcore $9.99 network plug, and as far as the network plugs go, this one here following that Paul Heyman SummerSlam promo was maybe one of the more effective ones they've ever done. As opposed to just telling you to buy it, they did a great promo hyping up a pay-per-view and then talked about how you could get it for only $9.99. So I thought this was pretty effective. We had a bunch of guys wishing happy birthday to the Hulkster, Flo Rida, Weird Al. Those were the first two there. So the streak of Roman Reigns' Raw openers continues. He came out for a match with a mystery opponent. Kane's music hit. He is back to being corporate Kane, although he is also referring to himself. He's referring to himself and to Kane. So him and Kane are separate people, I guess, in his own twisted mind.
No, there's Demon Kane and corporate Kane.
I see.
And this guy's the director of operations for the authority, so he's back to that role.
I see. He said that since beating Kane last week was almost like beating two men, this week, Reigns would face two men. These two men were Rybacksel, who, if you've been watching the show lately, are really more like one man. But they did a handicap match. My theory remains that since he's not necessarily the best worker at this point, they are putting Reigns in the opener every week when the crowd is at its hottest. And they certainly were hot for this match. And I do not think...
It was a hot crowd the whole show, though.
It was, but I don't think this would have been as hot at 10:30.
Probably not.
So they things were going along just fine, probably better than you'd think given Rybacksel was involved. And then the heels just went outside and posted him for the disqualification.
Yeah, that was quite lame.
The biggest jobber team they've got on the roster right now, and for some reason they could not let him or not let Roman Reigns beat them, which actually infuriated me because Reigns then destroyed them afterwards anyway. He hit them both with his Superman punch. He hit them both with his spear. He utterly destroyed them, but for some reason, they just had to do a disqualification here in this match. So,
I have no idea why.
I have no idea.
I think they were just screwing with people with the idea that, you know, like that we're giving you something lame, but then, you know, we'll get you to cheer at the end. But yeah, he could have just speared them both, beat them both. Whatever. I think, you know, I just think that they wanted to take people down and get people to groan and then give them something to cheer at the end.
Yeah, that's a great strategy. Let's make them groan.
Yeah.
So they sent out Renee to interview him. And the place actually went nuts for him after he beat up both men. They chanted his name. And he said that Randy did get me 2 weeks ago, but I did not steal anything from Randy, but I will take everything from him Sunday. And then they gave him this horrendous line about what happens when you knock a viper's teeth down its throat.
Fangs. Vipers don't have teeth.
Is that what he said? I could have sworn he said teeth. It doesn't matter.
He said fangs.
The answer is it becomes a worthless little worm. And,
yeah, and it was pretty. There
that
were,
line
there were,
sucked.
Know, yeah, well, there was a lot of overwritten lines on the show, some of which actually were performed so well that they got away with it, and that one wasn't one of them.
No. They're working with a very limited creative team now after all these cuts.
What, they have 22 people or something?
Yeah, the term too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we got here.
Yeah.
Too many cooks in this kitchen. We had a Randy meeting with Kane backstage. He said Ryback had not gotten the job done. Neither had Kane. He vowed to end Roman at SummerSlam. And then Kane said the match would be one of the biggest challenges of his career. The Authority wanted to make sure he was ready, and so they had signed Orton to a match against Sheamus tonight. It is what's best for business, Kane said. And Orton said,
it wasn't that great for business.
It did nothing for business, I would say.
Yeah.
They said Stephanie had a confession tonight. Boy, did she ever. It's Seth Rollins against RVD. RVD was supposed to have a match with Seth last week, but he got replaced. So they had a match here. It was all right. RVD is literally slower every time I see him, but he tries very hard.
He was fine here.
Yeah. So they did the match, and RVD goes for the monkey flip out of the corner. Rollins shoved him off, hit the curb stomp for the pin. And then as Seth is leaving, he saw all of the presents on the stage, and he got paranoid that Dean might be hiding in one of the boxes.
So and he was.
Yep. First, he assumed he was just paranoid, and as he went to leave, Dean leaped out of the box and beat the hell out of him. So I want to know who put Dean in this box.
The same guy who put Slater in the box.
I want to know how Dean knew that Seth Rollins was going to presume that he was in the box. A lot of questions about this segment here. But the fans did get into it, so.
Well, it's the Dick Slater in the box. And I don't know how Dick Slater always knew to come out of the box at the right time either.
I don't know either.
But he always did.
Well, I will say that Dean Ambrose, he heard his cue or whatever. He did a much better job here than that one day that he had to come out of the trunk of the car. And
Seth
true. Rollins had to stand there for 10 minutes before he jumped out, so.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting because Dean Ambrose is, you know, a copy of Dick Slater. And he's now copying Dick Slater's angles. I hope he doesn't copy when Dick Slater shot Wahoo McDaniel with a gun by accident.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. Or maybe it was the other way around. I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was Wahoo that shot Dick Slater with a gun.
So Dean Ambrose, one way or the other, needs to stay away from guns.
Or Seth Rollins needs to, yeah.
One or the other. Both, preferably. So, he did run off Seth, and he vowed to get more than his $9.99 worth on Sunday. Then we had this segment. Stephanie McMahon came out for her confession. She said she always did what was best for business. She said sometimes they received information that could negatively impact one of their performers' lives. The operative word there, by the way, was impact. She said it was time to intervene. She said, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, copying the real bad angle from Impact.
That's right. She brought out Daniel Bryan's therapist, Megan Miller, she said. They had a picture of them together in the therapy room. Megan, by the way, looked remarkably like Claire Lynch, which was what this angle, I guess, was based on.
Yes.
Claire Lynch was trending on Twitter, so this was not lost on on literally thousands of people.
It was lost on people who watch TNA.
Did you see Chris Daniels tweet that he was not responsible for this one?
That's pretty funny, but I didn't see it, no.
That was a good one. So anyway, yeah. This Megan comes out, and long story short, Stephanie talks her into admitting that she has had an affair with Daniel Bryan.
God, I hope she doesn't get pregnant now.
Hey, that could still be coming. Now, the key to this, by the way, is that Megan's story is that she knew Daniel and Brie. They were good people, and her boyfriend had left her, and she just couldn't be Bryan's therapist because they were now having this affair. So Brie comes out, and Brie starts yelling at Megan. So in storyline, they really do know each other. So I guess we'll see where this goes, but Steph was digging the knife in.
She was buying it.
She was buying it because in storyline she does know this girl. So
yeah,
Stephanie egged him on, and Steph said that Megan had told her that Bryan had called Brie a dead fish, and so Brie slapped Megan across the face, tackled Stephanie, went for the yes lock, and everybody came out to break it up. And I was certain that there would be a storyline faux pas with Brie slapping Megan, but it was not to be. They actually followed up on it exactly as it would logically be followed up on. So we'll get to that here in a bit. Where in the hell is this going?
What, I don't know.
The hidden camera again? Is that where we're getting here?
I don't know.
I don't know if this is... we'll see.
Maybe we'll get tapes and we'll have evidence and...
Sure.
All kinds of stuff.
I will say, this girl was a much better actor than Claire Lynch.
Yeah, she was. But it's still, I don't know. Still, anything that gives you memories of a really bad angle probably isn't a great angle.
Probably not, no. And who are these creative people that are looking for angles and they come across Claire Lynch and think that's a great thing to copy?
I know. They don't know the difference between like a good angle and a bad angle.
It's terrible. Yeah.
I don't know. If what can you say? Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
That's right.
So we're repeating it.
Those who don't learn from the proper lessons of history.
Yeah.
We had more folks wishing the Hulkster happy birthday. AJ Hawk of the Green Bay Packers did an awesome network plug when he explained that he showed his kids clips of the Hulkster on YouTube. That was amazing.
That was awesome, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's amazing they let it air like that, too.
I know. They were desperate for celebrities, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Swagger and Cesaro had a match. Cesaro didn't even get an entrance this week.
He did, but he got a lot better of a match, though.
He did get a better match. They wrestled early. Swagger out grappled him. Storyline is that Rusev had injured Swagger's ribs, and so Swagger had his ribs all taped up, and there were numerous abdominal stretches, a lot of spots working over Swagger's ribs, including one where Cesaro went for his backdrop uppercut, but instead of doing an uppercut, he did a knee to the ribs. There was an awesome spot where Cesaro went for a double foot stomp, and Swagger turned it into the ankle lock, which I thought would have been a great finish, but it was not the finish. Yeah. And finally, they just did a leg drag off the top rope. Swagger put him in the ankle lock and got the submission. So
they pushed the idea that Swagger would not be 100% at the pay-per-view.
They also pushed the idea that Rusev might tap out in a flag match. What?
We don't know. The flag match may just be a regular match.
I figured a flag match would be a flag match where you capture the flag.
They never explain what the rules of the flag match are, so I have no idea what they are. I thought that they would be one of those things where, the coward waves the flag.
I see.
You know, where you wave the flag, that means you wave the flag.
All these weeks of angles for this, and they haven't even explained what a goddamn flag match is?
They never do. They never do. It's TNA does the same thing. They just come up with the idea of what the rules are the day of the show. It's not anything that they build up. So, yeah, I thought that, the winner waves the flag or something. Who knows?
All I know is
capture the flag.
That's what I thought it was. I thought it was capture the flag. I thought it was a good way to have Swagger actually get a win without really beating Rusev.
Yeah, it still may be, or maybe it won't. Maybe he's going to have to beat him.
There's a second straight show, by the way, that they would not let Lana talk.
I didn't even notice that, but you're right.
That's right. She had no promo on SmackDown. She had no promo on this show, so.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. By the way, Zeb cut a promo threatening to have Lana and Rusev deported. And if you check out the number of foreigners who have disappeared off WWE television over the past 2 years after feuding with Zeb, they should probably be pretty concerned because there are few left.
And yeah, I got a kick out of saying that he follows Lana around like a lovesick puppy. I thought that was pretty funny.
It is pretty funny if you watch her Instagram because he essentially does.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I would if I were Rusev, got to say. So we had a sit-down interview with Jericho and Bray Wyatt, hosted by Cole for a moment. Bray kicked him out. And so Bray did this long promo talking about nightmares and Jericho's childhood and how his father must have been disappointed in him and all of this stuff. And you could just hear the crowd getting restless, and then they were booing. And Jericho finally cut a big promo saying, "I'm not a savior, I'm a survivor. You never know what you're going to get with Chris Jericho. I'm going to follow the buzzards and shove them down your throat at SummerSlam." And the good thing is we didn't get any scary music, but I don't think this was necessary to, build interest in this particular match.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what's funny is I'm losing interest in Wyatt's promos of late.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to love them, and now it's just kind of like, okay, get it over. You don't say anything. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah, I don't know.
It's just he says the same stuff all the time, and we've heard it. The fans are getting sick of it as well. So I think my theory is that for a long time, he
was new.
He was new, and his delivery carried him. He has a great delivery, but after a while, when you've heard the delivery enough times and you start listening to what he's actually saying, you know, it's sort of like, okay, it's just, I don't know. The fans are getting sick of it as well, so it's not just us.
Yeah.
We had AJ Lee and Eva Marie in a match. Did you see Eva Marie's match on NXT this week with It's Bailey?
I did not. I have heard
that
I have been told that I need to see it. I just have not had a chance to see it yet.
Man, it's I got to go back and watch Charmel and
that bad. Wow.
Well, I got to watch it again to see if it was that bad. But this was really horrible. Like so bad, it was just baffling. They would even put it on NXT. It was so horrible.
Wow. I'm gonna go watch it as soon as we're done here.
So this match was quick.
I got a choice between that and, the one night of G1 that I missed, so I'll watch that one.
I was going to ask if you had a G1 hangover, but you got one more, so.
Well, I never saw one. There's one of the shows that I never saw, and since I saw, like, 11 shows, I figured just for the sake of posterity, I should probably have watched every single one.
That's so, right.
I'm not complaining about it because I've seen so much freaking great wrestling, but...
Well, why don't you watch Eva Marie first? Because then that G1 show is going to be even better.
Yeah, I guess.
Or you could go the other way around and it'll be the worst match you've ever seen. So many options.
This match, thank God, this match was a headlock takeover. That was the only move of the match. There was not one thing screwed up and she still sucked.
Oh, yeah. The best part of this match, it was so awesome.
Well, it was not the match. It was the post-match.
Exactly. They did a distraction finish because God knows we needed one on this show.
God knows we needed AJ Lee to lose to Eva Marie, so we have to see the match again.
Yes. So Eva rolls her up for the pin after Paige comes out for a distraction. So first off, you've got to imagine this. Eva pins her, and it's so obvious that AJ is just laying there for 3 seconds because she can't even believably do a schoolboy. So Eva wins, and her first concern upon winning is she must primp, pose, and blow kisses. So keep in mind, that's the last thing we see for about 2 minutes is Eva primping, posing, and blowing kisses in a victorious manner. So then they cut to Paige, and Paige does this poem for AJ. That's how they build up SummerSlam. Paige has a poem for AJ.
Roses are red, and it went from there, yeah.
Sure. So
I mean, it wouldn't have been the poem thing. I mean, it wouldn't have been so bad if Haman hadn't have done the same,
exactly.
the same type of a thing earlier, so much better. Because this really wasn't bad at all. But it was like, we just saw a poem, and now you're trying to have poor Paige compete with Paul Heyman. And she was still very good, but it just, you know, I don't know. It wasn't badly written or anything like that, and she delivered well. But just two poems in one show, you know, kind of overdoing it.
So after she does it, they cut back to AJ in the ring.
So maybe like one of the new writers is a
poet.
Dude. Yeah, it's a poetry guy.
Maybe it's Sandow. Maybe he's on the writing team.
A rapper poet.
Or they brought in the genius.
Lanny Poffo?
He's available right now for writing duties.
Well, then Savage can go in the Hall of Fame this year.
That's right. So they go back to AJ, and AJ's in the ring, and she's upset about the poem, and she turns around, and she notices Eva outside. Now, Eva had been primping, posing, and blowing kisses the last time we saw her. Eva is now inexplicably on the ground, selling the back of her head. I have no idea why. I was certain that I must have fallen asleep or something.
She took a headlock takeover.
I rewound it three times to make sure I had not missed anything.
You didn't miss anything, but she took a headlock takeover. You know.
I realized that, but then she won and she was celebrating. It was a delayed onset head injury from a headlock takeover. It's ridiculous.
There's absolutely no explanation for this one.
No, there's none.
There's none. And I think the best part of it is people trying to come up with the best explanation was it's wrestling, so you don't need an explanation. That's pretty bad.
That's a horrible explanation.
Oh, it was brutal. This was just, I mean, I was saying the same thing. It's like, why is she dead? She just won the match. She took no punishment in the match. And she was just laying there for AJ to put the boots to. Throw in a barricade and beat her up.
She was literally on her feet celebrating outside the ring the last time we saw her. I pray that somebody in Portland had like a phone camera or something. They were filming her so we could see her all of a sudden just remarkably begin to sell for no reason. Anyway, AJ then went out and destroyed her.
They had like a voodoo doll, you know.
Sure.
One of the guys backstage was putting it in her neck and her back and everything.
I've got no better. Maybe Papa Shango was back for Hogan's birthday party. Is that possible?
It is possible, yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
And by the way, what's her face? Eva. Totally fine at the end for Hogan's birthday party. Right out there front and center. Kissing Paul Orndorff.
Well, she had time to
recover?
Yeah, she's time to recover.
I'm surprised she didn't start selling in the middle of his birthday party again.
Yeah. That Megan, by the way, is independent wrestler who works the Northwest, who's a student of Lance Storm.
She is a Lance Storm student. I don't know if I think she's a Calgary. I don't know if Northwest is the.
She's from BC.
Yeah, I see. Hmm. Well, there you go. Then we had. Claire Lynch is noted was trending on Twitter here. Cena came out for his promo, and he did a John Cena promo, very fiery.
I thought he did a hell of a promo.
Talked about how he said that Brock was going to get the beating of the lifetime because Brock did not deserve.
Brock does not deserve the title because he does not work 300 days a year.
What the hell does that have to do with fighting a dude?
Because that's the new mentality. It's like when it's fake. That when Dwayne Johnson came back, he didn't deserve the title because he wouldn't, you know, wrestle 300 days a year. It doesn't matter if you can draw money. It doesn't
forget all that. Does it matter if you're the better wrestler of the two? What the hell does it mean deserving?
They pick the champion, and they should pick you based on only one factor. Well, a couple of factors, but the main factor is loyalty. If you are not loyal to the cause, then you do not deserve the championship.
That's all fine and good in the backstage world of WWE, but I don't want to hear that on television. It's stupid.
It's not even fine and good. It should be all about what programs can draw the most interest. And if it's a guy who only works a couple of shows a year, whose program can draw more interest because for whatever reason, he's more charismatic or has a bigger name, then he should be in a big program.
Well, sure. I mean, as far as your outliers go, but I mean, whatever. But the point is, I don't want to hear this on television. I don't want to hear that Brock Lesnar deserves or doesn't deserve the title. Brock's going to get the title because he kicks John Cena's ass, or he's not. That's it.
Well, that's the new thing is that you get that since we all know that they handpick it, we're explaining to you that in fact he doesn't deserve it because I work harder than he does.
Well, yeah, well maybe they wouldn't have a problem drawing network subscribers if we didn't term it in this way.
Yeah, and maybe the championship would mean more if you didn't pretty much go out and say that. But they do. I mean, look, that, you know, Punk and Cena both did those promos on Rock when Rock was around.
That's right.
You know,
and it was no better then.
And, you know, Punk was just, you know, talking about, you know, the whole time the guy was around, he was cutting promos on him everywhere he would go. I mean, they still, you know, I mean, it's like they did two giant WrestleManias with a guy. The payoffs were bigger. The one in 2012 was 2012 was the biggest WrestleMania payoffs ever. And these guys are complaining that the guy's back because he took a spot from God knows Dolph Ziggler or Zack Ryder or something like that, you know, who worked all year to get in WrestleMania.
So it was a very good promo outside of that stupid line.
Yeah, I mean, at least he didn't say that, you know, you don't deserve to be in this main event. But, yeah, he didn't talk about Undertaker or nothing, though.
No, he said that people had been often asking if John Cena was going to turn.
Oh, that was lame, too.
That's right.
Actually, I liked the promo, but I actually put that turn thing, like, out of my head. I mean, I think I had amnesia during that thing because...
I didn't.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, that's so pandering. You know what I mean? I hate when, it's like, oh, they want me to turn. You know, it's like, you know, the people who want you to turn don't get business. So it's just like, you know, I mean, and if they don't get business, you don't need to pander to them. That's what I think.
Yeah, this would have been a much better promo without those two things, but it was still very, very good. The fans, he called him a punk-ass bitch and said he was going to give him the middle finger, which actually got people chanting Cena.
He got cheered at the end, even though they booed him almost the entire promo, and then by the end he got him to cheer him, and so that was a very effective promo. I mean, there was other stuff where, you know, he tried to get him to chant "You can't wrestle," and a few people did,
the funniest was when he tried to, he said, people chant all sorts of things. Sometimes they chant, "Let's go, Cena," and then he waits.
And nobody did it.
But they all did Cena sucks.
Yeah. It was, sometimes when you, when you rely on the crowd, you don't get exactly what you want. But I think the middle of the promo wasn't that good. The beginning was really good, and the ending was great. So that's the deal.
We had Brie Bella coming out for a match with Stephanie. Stephanie had demanded that they do the match tonight and not SummerSlam. All I was wondering was if Brie had called Brian yet. That'd probably be on the top of my list if I were her. But Steph
Can you imagine? Last thing he needs, he's got a bad neck, and now he's got this, and he's got like this stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Steph came out in street clothes.
He did a really good. In the finish where he starts talking about diverticulitis and hepatitis and laryngitis. I like that. I thought that was great.
As Cena, by the way, in his promo.
Yeah, he said, but he has punk bitch-itis.
Yes. As soon as he started saying naughty words, the people got into his promo. So
yeah,
I guess that's all they want.
And he's
profanity.
He is not going to repeat history. So he's learning from history. He's making history. He's not repeating history.
That's right. So he's not on the writing team.
Yeah. So
he's not responsible for Claire Lynch, too.
Okay. So the point is, since he's not repeating history, that means that he's going to lose this time.
So Brie comes out and steps out in street clothes and says, "We are going to have to wait till SummerSlam after all. That is, if you make it to SummerSlam." And she showed the clip of Brie slapping Megan. And she said Megan had decided to press charges. And so the cops come out and Brie is crying and saying she didn't do anything wrong, which factually is incorrect. She slapped the girl on national television. Exactly.
Yeah, there's film proof.
Yeah. She had a bad argument here.
And she's a civilian. She's not another wrestler.
That's right.
Even though I guess she could go and claim she's an independent wrestler, but since in this storyline she's not.
Or maybe it'll come out that Steph hired her to be a performer on the show. I don't know. Anyway, they carted her off.
She did.
Well, if she did, then Bree, then she was a performer, and Bree should not have been arrested.
Yeah, but Bree's a performer and got Stephanie arrested.
No. Bree was not a performer when Stephanie slapped her. She'd been fired.
Okay, but really she was a performer, though.
I know, but I'm saying in storyline. Maybe Stephanie hired this woman in storyline. And if that comes out,
I see.
Then Bree gets off the hook because she actually slapped a performer.
But what if she's an independent contractor? Well, and they didn't give her benefits and things like that. Does it count then?
I'll ask Todd on Thursday.
Okay.
He might know. Anyway, they carted her off, and Steph said this should be a lesson to everybody. What goes around comes around. And then she said, if you make bail, I will see you at SummerSlam, which led to the announcers in the next segment insisting, don't worry, everybody, she's going to make bail.
Thank God. Do you remember one time on, it was WCW, and it was the go-home show before the pay-per-view, and they did something like this where they went off the air, and you didn't know if there would be a main event. And I remember talking to people in the company afterwards going like, what the hell is this? You go off the air, and there was the go-home show, and it's like, because we want people to wonder. It's like, it's the main event. And in fact, it did a terrible buy rate. But I just, it's like, it's the main event on your pay-per-view, and you go off the air, and you tell people, we don't know if we're going to be giving you this match. And it's like, can you like just like go like at the end of the show, go, you know, by the way, the main event's really going to happen? No, because then the people won't wonder. And it's like, oh my God. What does this business come to? But I mean, on SmackDown, I'm sure they're going to say that she made bail. So
sure.
I'm not worried about this one.
No. Plus, I don't think there's anyone buying the show for that match. I think some people are very excited for the match, but no one's buying the show for that match.
No one's buying the show for any match. They're just buying the network for $9.99.
Well, sure, but I think there are people buy the network to see the main event.
You know what? You know what? I'll bet you that there'll be like, you know, 50,000-60,000 pay-per-view buys in the United States.
We had Dolph Ziggler and Heath Slater. Miz was out there doing commentary. And he actually had a funny line.
This was freaking hilarious when Miz was out there saying how you know, none of these, you know, LeBron and these guys Cleveland's never had a championship. And then somebody goes, what about Jim Brown? And he goes, well, he never won a championship. And then they just go, well, actually, he did.
I liked it.
It was so funny.
I liked when he said, if something happened to his face, quote, there might not be a Marine 5.
That was pretty good, too. Yeah.
This is the best Miz has ever been. I mean, not even close to me.
No, I disagree in that WrestleMania run. When he had his good run, he was cutting awesome promos. And these are not awesome promos. These are ironically, you know, mid-card, you know, funny mid-card promos. He was doing, you know, really effective, you know, big time. I don't want to say effective main event promos, but he was a strong character. He was really good. And he didn't now.
I like Miz now.
Now he's just a guy in a suit, you know. I mean, yeah, but he's doing second match stuff. You know, don't hit me in the face.
I'd rather you were doing good second match stuff than main event stuff.
Well, if he's in the second match, I guess it's fine.
Anyway, announcers paid zero attention to this match. They were all arguing with Miz. And I don't know what's up, but Heath Slater was given tons of offense here. They actually had a hell of a little match while it lasted. And Ziggler finally hit the zigzag. Miz went after him. Ziggler chased him off, tossed him into the barricade. Miz went ass over tea kettle, landed right on his head. And Ziggler went running to the ring, but he was a second too late. And so Heath Slater, win streak, 2 in a row on Raw. And this also was the end of Ziggler's Raw winning streak. Ziggler wins on every Raw, but loses on every SmackDown. That changed here. And people were chanting Slater afterwards. Ziggler offered a handshake. Slater tried to boot him. Ziggler caught his foot and gave him the zigzag. And then JBL muttered, terrible sportsmanship by Ziggler. Mm. I liked it.
Yeah.
Orton versus Sheamus had a pretty good match. Usual match between these two guys. Orton cut him off, set up for the draping DDT during the comeback. Sheamus necked him. They did a bunch of near falls. Sheamus had a huge bruise on his biceps, which hopefully doesn't mean that he tore his bicep.
Oh, that'd be bad. He's had a lot of bad luck.
It was not good. He set up for the brogue kick. Orton avoided it, sent him into the post, and then finally Sheamus went for a dive off the top. Orton hit a midair RKO for the pin. Got a big babyface pop for that, actually.
Yeah, that timing was pretty good. Not only did he get a babyface pop, but he got this big babyface smile when he did it, too.
That's right. He did his pose before making the pin. He pinned the guy, and then he got up and he celebrated and was clearly very happy with this match. So, it was good. We had an awesome Cena Brock promo setting up the special for tonight after Raw. And then finally we had the Hulk Hogan birthday celebration. We had Gene in the ring with Jimmy Hart. They called out Hogan. All of the Raw stars were on the ramp watching. Hogan got this gigantic ovation. He was so excited to be having his birthday on Raw. He was rubbing his hands together. They had this awesome video package set to Forever Young by Bob Dylan. Clips from the beginning of his career through the end. No TNA, of course. And everybody's...
Well, you know, obviously, you can't have any TNA.
Sure. So everybody's cheering like crazy. He's basically weeping in the ring. Says it's probably the first time ever that he's been speechless. But then he cuts a Hulk Hogan promo. Said he'd been besieged by gifts all day, including a card from Vince with $9.99 so that he could subscribe to the network. What Vince did not tell him was he is also committed to $49.95 out of his own pocket for the next 5 months. But he said he hoped he'd been able to touch the fans' lives the way they touched his, loved his fans, loved the Hulkamaniacs. So then they brought out some guys. Flair came out. Flair looks like he's in the best shape he's been in like a decade. Looks great. And then they had Paul Orndorff out with an amazing handlebar mustache. Piper came out. It was Portland, so he got a giant ovation. Hall and Nash came out. They actually gave Scott Hall a mic, did an old school survey, led to Hogan tearing off the red and yellow, revealing his NWO shirt. So Nash starts singing Happy Birthday when Brock's music hit. And all of the guys are horrified. Flair has this oh shit look on his face. Scott Hall moved to stand behind Gene Okerlund. And
that'll do you a lot of good.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't figure out why everybody was concerned with 40 professional wrestlers standing on the stage 50 feet away.
Because they weren't going to help. They let Brock, they let Brock walk down. Nobody stopped him.
It's shocking.
They should have just, like, you know, not let him to the ring.
That's right. Should have made a big wall.
Yeah, just all attacked him. Save their hero Hulk Hogan.
Well, Brock came out and he intimidated everybody, and then he grabbed the mic and he said, and I quote, "Party's over, Grandpa," which is all he needed to say. So Cena finally hit the ring, tore off the shirt. This led to Brock leaving to massive boos. And Lawler said, "Thank God John Cena came out. God forbid what might have happened otherwise." And then that was the end of the show. So afterwards, they had more of a celebration. Vince came out and hugged the Hulkster very briefly.
Titus O'Neil and Darren and Heath Slater threw cake at each other.
That's right. That's right.
They brought this little cake and it slipped on one, and then they started throwing food at each other. And then another cake showed up that was mysteriously much larger.
So everything except Vince aired on the WWE Network afterwards. So I presume it wasn't
really much of anything. Just they brought out the cake and Hogan said a few words and that was about it.
So that's the show, everybody. SummerSlam's coming up on Sunday. I will be going to the SmackDown tapings tomorrow. So I'll be reporting on anything that happens there. So get ready for that. What's going on with Del Rio?
He's working Triple Mania, which I believe means...
Wrestling on it?
I don't think he's wrestling on it. I think he's just going to be there. I'll try to find that out, though. But he may just be refusing the 90-day non-compete and going and just figuring he'll just work now. But either that or maybe they just figure that they can just use him and I don't know. I mean, they wouldn't use they didn't use Sin Cara for the 90 days. He was at the tapings and they, you know, like, use like silhouettes of him and things like that. And I mean, and that was all because of the non-compete. So they do respect the non-compete, but they, You know, and I mean, and they never announced it was him or anything like that. But with this one, I mean, Joaquin Roldan, who's the, you know, CEO of AAA, I mean, he went out and said, you know, Del Rio's there. They've gotten mainstream press in Mexico that Del Rio will be there. So it's a big deal as far as him being at that show. So and that's head to head with WrestleMania, which I mean, with SummerSlam. So, you know, while that doesn't mean anything here in Mexico, it's actually a big deal because they're going head to head on pay-per-view. So getting Del Rio, I mean, anything like that, that'll make people, you know, that may make some people who are going to buy the WWE show buy their show is a plus. They're in very, you know, to them, this is, you know, this is big head-to-head competition.
Huh. This may seem like a stupid question, but I know when you're released, like when Ricardo got released, you know, he's going to be paid for the 90 days. There's a no-compete and everything like that. Is it possible that when this happened, he was just flat out fired and they're like, you're not getting any money, you're just done. And so he can do whatever he wants. No?
No, it's possible, but I don't think they would do that.
I see.
Because this is exactly what they don't want. Even though it's Mexico and it's not that much of a concern, but they, you know, they don't want a guy showing up on TNA the next week. It's just they want him off TV for 90 days.
So TNA schedule, what's the news?
There's nothing on the schedule after September 7th. And that doesn't mean that they're done, but they got nothing on the schedule after September 7th except for those late January dates in the UK. So I don't know what it means, and there's just all kinds of problems there. But
do you think that if they did not get renewed, and they essentially closed up shop, and there were a lot of guys that were working the indies or whatever, that maybe they would still do that January tour anyway, just to do like a one-off, make some money?
Well, they wouldn't fold, not if they folded the company. If they didn't have TV for a while, no, there's no point. If they continue their TV in the UK, you know, I mean, I'm sure that in their minds, I mean, the UK is just not lucrative enough that just to have TV there in the UK, you can support the company. Because if it was, you know, then they probably could, then they'd probably be able to survive. But they're, you know, they're in rough financial shape now anyway. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, people are looking for other jobs. That's for sure. You know, I mean, they're still trying. They're still trying to stay alive, which I guess is the whole thing. I mean, it's funny their TV's gotten, you know, a lot more entertaining. It's actually pretty damn entertaining of late.
But shocking how that works when you get rid of Vince Russo.
Yeah, but it was gonna, you know. That's not the reason. One of the things is that they figured we got it. Their backs were against the wall, and they figured if they're going to New York, they got to give people good wrestling. So by having to give people good wrestling, it makes for a better television show. I don't know why you wouldn't come up with that in another, you know, it took 12 years to figure that out, but that's the deal.
Vanderlei Silva thinks that he's just going to be rubber stamped, cleared to go.
Yeah, he must be nuts.
Well, that's pretty good. I think there's a pretty good chance of that, given all that's gone down with him of late.
Yeah, August 21st is his hearing. So, we'll see what happens. See what they do. He's got to be suspended for 15 months minimum. Anything less than that, you can't. You've got to suspend them longer than a failure. And maybe not as long as Chael, because Chael failed for so many drugs, but.
Well, hold on a second. He fled. He could have had 5,000 drugs in his system. We don't know.
He could have. Absolutely.
So I don't, whatever you want to do with the guy, I don't think that because Chael had X number, he should be punished more severely than a guy who didn't even take the test in the first place.
Well, Chael got 2 years.
Well, we'll see. I don't think Vanderlei's getting off the hook.
He better not. I don't think so either, because I don't think so at all. But you know, it's possible he'll get 90 days. I mean, not 90 days. I mean, like 9 months or a year. It's possible. But I just can't see anything less than 15 months would just be, you know, for something like that. You gotta teach people lessons that, you know, that they cannot flee a test or this repercussions are huge.
Yes. Mark Bocek is retiring because he believes that 90% of MMA fighters are on PEDs.
Yeah. Well, he kind of got talked into that number. Somebody, you know, somebody said, well, we've heard it's 90%. And then
doesn't he train with guys?
Yeah.
So if I'm training with 20 guys,
it means 18.
He really thinks 18 of his 20 training partners are on PEDs.
Yeah, that sounds pretty high. But there were a number of reasons that he retired, and that was, he said he was tired of fighting guys on PEDs, and he said it was just as bad in jiu-jitsu competition at the top level, you know, not in small tournaments, but at the top level, he said it's just as bad. It's like that in all sports. But he also said that, you know, he didn't really want to get hit in the head anymore.
And well, that's a good reason to retire.
Yeah, yeah. And he doesn't want to get hit in the head, and he's not that motivated about his training. And he said, when you do that, it's probably time to retire. He wants to coach, though. So that's the deal.
And Josh Barnett got a big submission this weekend.
Yeah. Submitted Dean Lister in the Metamora show. And
first time Dean Lister had been submitted in, I think, 16 years, was it?
16 years, yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he cut a promo about, catch wrestling, beating jiu-jitsu, and actually kept using the term professional wrestling. You know, he's representing professional wrestling, and he's showing that professional wrestling is a strong fighting art, which all would go over well and good in Japan. I think here people didn't know what the hell he was talking about, but he dressed like he did. He wore trunks and boots, and had a towel that was engraved. And in fact, he was doing that to be like his mentor, the great Antonio Inoki. So that's what he said. And of course, trying to honor Billy Robinson. So it was a big win. You know, I mean, he beat a champion jiu-jitsu player at his own game by using catch wrestling. So maybe more people will be interested in catch-as-catch-can wrestling. And, you know, as far as wearing the boots and everything, you know, he made himself susceptible to more holds just so he would dress the right, you know, dress a way that the old wrestlers dressed.
All right, let's jump into the mailbag here. Hugh says, assuming TNA is done, what would you
say? I don't assume that they're done, but
well, let's just say they're done.
But they're in tough shape. That's for damn sure.
Let me rephrase it. If TNA is done, what would you say was the peak of the company? The Angle Joe pay-per-view did their best numbers, but was there a time other than that that you believe was their best and could have been built upon?
I think their best was very shortly after they got on Spike. To me, that was their best.
All right. From a pay-per-view buy rate standpoint, I can understand using Vitor Belfort for a big fight, but why give him a title fight? What if Weidman slips on a banana and Belfort becomes the champion? Then what if he doesn't remember to take his shot? And basically, he's worried about this guy getting another drug test failure based on his history.
Well, you can't, you know, legislate stupidity. Look, he
did you see the interview that Vitor did? I can't remember where it was, but it was very recent, like last day or two. And he looks like Hoist Gracie practically at this point.
Now, I saw Vitor in San Jose. He wasn't, you know, everyone's saying how small he is. He is smaller, though. There's, you know, but he's pretty muscular still. But, he, you know, I mean, he of course he doesn't look like he looked, you know, before. Of course he doesn't. Did anyone expect that he would?
I think he's going to be just destroyed by Weidman.
Everyone does.
Like, destroyed.
Everyone does.
Like, but the old Vitor is going to be back.
You know, I mean, it may very well happen. I mean, a lot of fighters think that he's getting destroyed. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, we don't know. We don't know if he's going to be drug free come the day of the fight. I mean, he's going to, you know, you can take stuff and pass tests. But
sure.
He is smaller, but he's still muscular. I mean, it's like he's still pretty muscular. I mean, not Not like before. Nothing like before.
How long ago were we talking in San Jose?
What was that?
2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
10 days ago?
10 days ago? Okay.
9 days ago? 9 days ago?
Huh.
Yeah.
All
no,
right.
he wasn't that small. I mean, he if he's 210 cutting a 185, which would be about right, 210, 215, you know, I mean, he was every bit of 190, 195. But yeah, no, physically, will he be, did he look like he'd be a match for Chris Weidman? No, he did not.
210 to 190, that's 20 pounds.
195, I'd say 195.
So he's small. 15 pounds, wow.
Well, look, he's...
I mean, not surprising, but...
No, but he's off stuff. I mean, I don't know if he's off everything, but he's off stuff. So yeah, of course he's going to be smaller. But he was still muscular for a 37-year-old guy.
Sure.
But and I don't even know, you know, like I said, I don't even know that he's clean, but, you know, and how he's going to be able to train like this without his body breaking down in training. You know, I know Luke Rockhold is like absolutely convinced that he's going to face, he's facing Weidman for the title because Vitor is going to, you know, either get hurt or mentally quit or just realize that he can't fight and, or he's going to get an injury, and he's going to step in. But he's convinced of that. He's convinced he's stepping in for him because Vitor won't make the fight. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to go through training because he's going to have to train a whole lot less. And that can play on your mind. You know, especially first fight off. You know what I mean? First fight off, if he is off. But, I mean, whatever it is he's on, at worst, he's on less, you know, or at best, whatever however you want to put it.
All right. Does the UFC now own the pre-Zuffa video library? I had that SEG sold most of the footage to help stay in business.
Yeah, almost everything's on Fight Pass. Just about everything.
Has Dave seen the new Paul Heyman documentary? And are there any plans to do a story on Heyman in The Observer?
I may. I haven't seen it yet, though, no. I've got it in front of me. I'll probably watch it. I probably won't watch it this week. I'll probably watch it next week because this week's pretty swamped because I'm going to L.A., so... I don't think I'll be able to watch the next couple of days.
All right. Also in regards to, drug test failures in MMA, should there be a rule in place that says a fighter coming off a suspension must have 3 fights before he or she can challenge for a title again? Basically saying here, I think a drug test suspension should kick you out of the top 10 immediately at the very least.
I don't mind that idea. I think that's good. There is no rule of that. And promoters aren't going to make a rule because they're going to want fights that can make them the most money. So I don't know how you would do that because the championships are at the hands of the promoter. They're not governing body championships. So it's not going to happen. But if UFC were to make that rule themselves, I would applaud them for making that rule, but I don't think they will.
All right. Fred says, could you go over exactly what happened with the rumored attempt at forming a union in WWF in the late 80s? I've always heard Ventura was a key figure pushing for it to happen. Hogan ratted it out to Vince. I don't know if that's true.
That's pretty true. I think it was more like 86. And I think it was the idea was that Ventura was trying to get the guys to go on strike the day before WrestleMania because Vince would have to cave in and give them benefits or whatever they were going on strike for, and Hogan ratted them out, and then everyone got scared as they do. And Ventura then later said that he doesn't care because he got a union from doing, you know, he's Screen Actors Guild cards, so he doesn't care anymore. He's got his benefits, but he claimed that Hogan did it. Vince under oath said that, so it's probably true. Hogan, of course, has always denied it.
All right. This person says, why do we need 100 producers and agents when every match has a distraction finish? It's a rhetorical question there.
Yeah.
With the WWE Network expanding internationally, any idea if that will lead to more streaming problems with the extra traffic?
Could. Yeah.
I would hope that they would plan for that.
Yeah. Well, Hope so too.
All right. By the way, that's tomorrow is the big launch all over the world.
It's actually launched already.
I guess today is tomorrow. You're right.
Well, no, I mean, they did it. The stuff that they did, you know, like many, many hours ago. So even though like officially the day they say it is tomorrow, they actually, you know, took all the bugs out to where you don't need like that special device and you can get the network. That was done, this afternoon.
What do you think will happen with Ambrose after his feud with Seth Rollins ends? Will he be taken seriously or will he flounder?
I don't think he'll flounder. I think he's going to do really well. I hope so. I hope so. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I just think that he's a real talent, and they don't have they have a lot of talented guys, but he's got a lot of upward mobility, and he can hang at the top. And I hope that they have a good eye for talent, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But I think that in his case, they really should.
Oh, actually, we just got an email. Actually, this was Sunday. Or no, this was yesterday. This was yesterday. Talking about exactly what you were talking about. Singapore, his WWE network. He signed up without a VPN as of 6 p.m. local time in Singapore. So there you go. That's just what you were talking about. Is management angry that Dean Ambrose is as popular as he is? Do they resent it?
I don't think that they resent it. Now, will they, you know, like, how will they react to it? I don't think they're going to bury him. But, you know, you still have to convince them that he can be something bigger than they think he can be. And sometimes they will be convinced, and other times they will have it set in their mind that in fact he can't, and then he will be at a certain position. I think that their feeling on him, you know, the thing that holds people back like that is usually bad body, bad looks, and bad size. And he doesn't have any of those issues. So that's why I think that, you know, it won't be like, well, he's too small to be a headliner, which in this day and age, as we've seen, probably isn't the case, or he doesn't have the it factor to be mainstream. Well, you know, in his case, he really kind of does have the it factor. Now, is it possible they will not recognize that? Yes, there are people who are seemingly, to me, obvious that are not as obvious to some of them. But that said, they hired him. They pushed him. I believe that, you know, I mean, look, it's possible he won't make it, but I believe that just the numbers game and the lack of depth and things like that they have, that Ambrose, he'll be near the top mix. I don't know that he's going to be number one or be as big as he's got the potential to be. I don't know that. I don't know if they see him at that level. But I think that he's going to be, I think he's going to hang at the top. It is possible that he won't. It absolutely is. I just like to think that it'll. To me, he's obvious, and I'd like to think that you know, he's obvious enough that they'll see it.
And finally, here, was there any talk of bringing Eddie Gilbert into WWF as a member of the creative booking team from the late '80s until his passing in '95 after his UWF booking experience? Did WWE ever make overtures or moves to bring him into work creative? During the steroid trial and sex scandal, WWE had to make a few changes and shifts in directions, and I'm curious if Eddie was ever a candidate to come in and help.
No, because if he was offered it, I think he'd have been there. Because, you know, Eddie, what did Eddie really do after, you know, he had the run in WCW, and once he was off the WCW creative team, and once he was out of WCW, I mean, he worked like indies and stuff. So I think that if WWE would have made an offer to him, he'd have been there. He had a good booking mind and all, but he did have his you know, he had his bad side too, and that, you know, that could have worked against them hiring him, is the fact that his track record, he walked out of a lot of places for temper reasons. with WWE as far as being a performer from a WWE standpoint of that era, they would have considered him too small to do a lot with. I mean, he was talented, and he was actually really talented as a worker, but they did hold that against you. I mean, as far as being creative, you know, you can be small and work in creative. That's not really an issue. But for whatever reason, you know, they didn't make that decision. They didn't go in that direction.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. We've got a lot of stuff coming up on the front page. New Observer coming out in a couple of days. We'll have a new back issue tomorrow as well. And a lot of stuff. So check it out, everybody. And we'll talk to you again after a while.